Hey, welcome to Things I Learned Last Night.
Welcome.
It's a comedy podcast where we laugh a lot, learn a little. This week's topic is an alien one, which means you probably found it when you're searching for your alien stuff. I'm just going to give you a heads up. You're going to hate us.
You might like it, though.
Tim likes you. I hate you. So, unless you like us... In which case, I like you.
I only like you if you like me.
No, it's a comedy podcast. We learn a lot about Looking Glass, conspiracy theories on Dan. What was his last name?
Burrish.
Dan Burrish and his wild true stories. And maybe aliens are people from the future. Maybe aliens are aliens from the future, whatever they are. It's a good episode. It's very worth it. So I've got some upcoming shows. All my tour dates are listed on my website, but one that I want to highlight is April 13th in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So if you are out west, out in the wild, wild west, come hang out on April 13th. I'd love to see you. This is a good episode. Let's get into it.
Hey man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of Project Looking Glass?
Project Looking Glass?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound promising to me.
You're going to love this one, man. Oh, I'm so excited.
Okay.
Project Looking Glass is, I got to be honest with you. This just might be like the alien episode to end all alien episodes. Like this has...
Let's hope.
This has everything. It won't end them. they'll keep coming. But this one is like... This one's kind
of
like...
I held out a little bit of hope that you were like Project Looking Glass. And then you were trying to bait me into being like...
Into thinking it was an alien episode.
And then you were going to be like, oh, yeah, it's like a grocery store manager got in trouble because he was looking through the windows at his employees and he would keep watch over his kingdom or
and
whatever.
He called that Project Looking Glass.
Yeah.
I'm just working on my project.
And instead, it's...
exactly what it sounds like.
Great.
I'm not going to... Yeah, I wasn't going to sugarcoat this one because we got a lot to cover. There's a lot.
It's an educational comedy podcast. We're not here to actually talk about your stupid subject. We're here to laugh at you, your expense.
At you, yeah.
You Googled us. You found us. I'm glad you know how to use a computer. Why don't you use it to find a girlfriend?
Hey, I noticed that your tattoos haven't come off yet.
It's been weeks.
All right, so here's what
they won't wash off. I'm like a little worried about
that,
it.
That they're gonna just stay.
That they'll stain my skin.
Yeah,
and my soul.
Yeah, God doesn't love people with tattoos. He told me that when I got my first one.
Intro song or whatever.
As for me and my house, we will steal the Dead Sea Scrolls.
As for me and my house, we will steal the Declaration of Independence.
He says, I don't speak a lick of English. I don't speak.
This is super weird, bro. This is probably one of the weirdest things we've ever done.
Things I learned last night.
So here's what I want to do for this, all right? I'm going to tell you this story.
Okay.
As if it were a story that was true that I totally believe.
It seemed like you were like, I'm going to tell you the story. Like I was like, you're like, there's nothing you can do to stop me.
You aren't gonna be able to stop this. I'm gonna tell you the whole story, and then at the end, like we're gonna discuss it. Like okay, but let's leave discussion for the end and conclusions for the end.
Okay, because I'll take notes.
Just leave. Save your questions for the end. You in the audience, save your questions for the end because this is gonna be a ride. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Story starts with a guy named Dan Burrish. This is him. He is a doctor.
I don't give a crap about this man. He looks like a turtle.
He's a doctor and a microphone.
This guy,
he actually does look like the turtle from the Master of Disguise.
He looks like a stinking turtle, dude. Not even from Master of Disguise. He looks like Franklin's dad.
He does look like Franklin's dad. Here he is in his lab. Also, I want to highlight a few things in this picture. What is that doll on the wall? It's on the wall. It's like pinned to the wall.
I don't think it's on the wall. I think it's floating.
It's hovering behind him. And I also love that I don't understand like the scenario in which this photo was taken.
All right, Dan, smile.
And then right above his head, he's got this like gem
manifesto.
Chart. Yeah, I don't know.
What you that see is. The letter? Yeah. And it's the list of names of people he'd spare. He'd spare. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's crazy.
Here's another one of him doing microbiology.
He's just so mad that someone is bothering him at work. Someone's like, hey Dan, can I take a picture for the directory for the staff page?
What?
No one's supposed to know I work here.
He's pretty happy in this photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that photo was right after he pranked someone.
He's like,
so funny.
I got him pretty good.
So Dan, he's a microbiologist, a PhD.
I put 1/8 inch staples in there, 1/16 stapler.
No, it's too big. And it's jammed and it's never gonna unjam. And now they gotta go to Staples and buy a new one.
Well, I'll tell you what happened is I went into his office and I grabbed his stapler and then I replaced the smaller staples with the larger ones. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for
doing
that.
Can I take your picture?
Sure. Sure. Make sure you get my doll in the shot.
Can I incorporate?
The doll is in every shot. She finds her way. The doll will find her way.
Yeah. So the I don't like to use the D word, but
I didn't have the heart to change her name.
She has been a long time companion of mine.
I found her in the desert in New Mexico.
Buried under the sand. And I love her a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna put this in my acting reel. I'm trying to get a role, you know?
That was pretty convincing.
Well, I'm just accessing a part of my brain.
Yes.
That
I do think that was good when you blinked there. I think you need to blink more with this character.
No, look at his picture. If anything, I'm blinking way too much. This guy blinks once a month. And he schedules it.
Hold on.
Look at his last picture.
Hold on. I gotta
blink. This is a man who's on day 31. He's about to blink at the end of the day.
Hey, can you go out tonight? No, I gotta blink tonight.
I'm gonna blink tonight. Close my eyes, I will. For the first time in a month.
We got so much to cover. Okay, so Dan gets a job.
All right.
He lives in...
We spent 10 minutes making fun of your freaking hero, and you're still here. And then you're gonna leave a comment and be like, I came for the content, not the jokes. Yeah, well...
So Dan lives in Nevada, Las Vegas.
Obviously.
He gets a job. You know where. And so one day he wakes up, sure. He flies Alice Airlines. Janet Airlines. That felt weird.
Because they fly him out to some sketchy place, right?
Yeah, they fly. They what they do, if you don't know Area 51 lore, you go to Las Vegas International Airport. You go to the airport, you get in. There's an airline called Janet Airlines, and you have to have a special ticket.
I fly through Vegas all the time.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Well, it's pretty secretive. The plane's invisible.
Should I be looking for it?
The plane's invisible. Yeah, you could look. They fly every day. It's just a one-way trip every day for employees. And it's probably like 9 to 5. Like, so it's probably like 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening. It comes back.
Flying through Vegas Saturday.
Yeah, take a look. See if you can spot it. But at Janet Airlines, I bet by now they might have changed this. Because if like... And I don't know if they have like if they have a sign on it that says Janet, like on the tail. That's kind of a sign. Like if you
now paging all passengers,
yeah,
for Janet Airlines, please check your carry-on luggage for forgotten firearms.
You're gonna need them. So flies Janet Airlines to his first day on the job at Area 51. He is at Papoose Lake, which is another name for, you'll remember this, S4. Yes. Which is Bob Lazar's
stomping ground.
Yeah, that's where he did his...
That's where he found his doll.
The doll finds them. It's you don't
who
find the
doll. Rescued who?
Yeah.
So
he gets a job and he's getting the tour. Like it's sure. Like first day on the job. Here's a room you can't look at. Here's a room you can't look at.
There's no need for the tour, really. You got to keep your eyes closed the whole time. They were like, will you close your eyes for the tour? Yeah. And he was like,
I can't for another 5 hours.
Shoot.
I blinked by mistake. It's going to throw off my whole routine. Yeah, my morning routine. My morning routine. I wake up, I drink a glass of water, I do 200 push-ups, I read 3 chapters.
And I take an ice bath.
Yeah.
Because a cold plunge is good for the neural pathways in your brain. And then I board a flight of an airplane that is discreetly named. And I don't fly the plane, but I'm a passenger on the plane that is flown to Area 53.
It's a theme park I work at.
It's a theme park. And then so day one, are they giving them a tour, you think? There's no reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't go in this door. Don't go in this door. Don't go in this
they
door.
They say, here, put on this blindfold. Put these earplugs
here. Here's the men's room.
Here's some earplugs for your nose.
Where's the women's room? We've never seen one of them here. They don't like.
We're pretty sure those don't exist.
We're pretty sure.
Aliens exist. Women, pretty sure they don't.
Yeah. we know how to talk to aliens, but not those.
Not those. So they go around S4, right? And he's working on what's known as Alice's floor. And so he gets taken up to Alice's floor. And in the entryway into Alice's floor, it got its name because above the door, there's a statue of a white rabbit, like the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
And so the idea is you're following the rabbit, you know?
Sure.
So in this floor...
Yeah.
It's
alien stuff.
This is supposed to be
Usually on alien episodes, you're the one out here being like, and then they
went. Okay, sorry. You're right.
They walked over the door, there's a rabbit on the door or whatever, and ha ha ha.
You're right. So he walks into the Alice's floor. And Alice's floor is where all the stuff is. In Alice's floor, there's a couple programs that are going on, and one of them is the program that Dan gets assigned to, and this is called Project Looking Glass.
Okay.
Project Looking Glass goes back many years, so we maybe need to peel the curtain back a little bit and rewind it back to, I don't know, the late 40s, early 50s, right?
Okay.
Fresh after World War II.
I thought you were going to say 1780.
No.
I was like, whoa.
No, not that far. Not that far. A United States government learned about these Sumerian artifacts that were...
Okay.
How familiar are you with ancient Sumer?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, like the back of my hand. Oh.
Oh. I hate you for that. So they learned of these artifacts that were in a museum in...
Israel.
Iraq.
Oh, close.
Which I don't think Iraq was the nation at that time.
No, it was.
Now that I'm saying that out loud.
Middle East.
Yeah. There was a museum that they learned that there was a cylinder seal in, which here's a picture of a cylinder seal. This isn't the cylinder seal that we're
in
question, but the concept.
What does cylinder seal mean?
The concept was it was a little toilet paper roll, basically, that was a lot easier to put your toilet paper on. And this guy got on Shark Tank for him. No. So it's this little...
It's too seamless.
It's this roll. And on the roll, there's like the indents of an image. And so you could take a clay tablet and roll that image into that tablet.
Got
it. Roll the seal across. And this was used for anything like seals were used for. So it's a lot like, you know, how like people would have the wax and then they'd... Yeah, it was the same concept. You'd have your clay and you'd seal it with your thing.
So this rolls?
Yeah, you roll it across and it gives you that imprint.
Okay.
In the clay tablet. And so this was something that was used pretty widely in ancient Sumeria. Well, the United States government gets word of these specific cylinder seals that were for sale in, or not for sale, but were on display in this museum.
Yeah.
And
they're like, start a war.
We just did a war and it was pretty sick. We won big time and we got to make some pretty cool stuff.
more artifacts.
We would love to do some more of that. And so they went over and they expected them to say no, so that way they could do the war thing. But they said yes. They were like, yeah, you can buy them if you want. And so they...
Okay, we'll get Hobby Lobby on it. Do you remember when Hobby Lobby accidentally, like, not accidentally, yeah, just straight up stole...
Intentionally, yeah, stole a bunch of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Yeah, same concept. But they didn't steal them. They bought them. Like, the government...
They're like, that could have been us. It was a Sunday.
we don't work on Sundays. Sorry.
I don't theft on Sundays.
As for me and my house, we will steal the Dead Sea Scrolls.
As for me and my house, we will steal the Declaration of Independence.
So they, bro, have you seen these polar bear friendship bracelets?
What?
They got these new friendship bracelets where they have like...
Yeah.
They got like a, they come with like a QR code and like an app, and they link to a polar bear so you can track your polar bear. And so you and your friend, you get a polar bear.
So it's like a Tamagotchi for science. It's like a real life Tamagotchi.
And you and your friends can watch your polar bear and see what your polar bear is up to.
Bro, my polar bear is an idiot. He fully drowned trying to grab a seal.
Yeah, imagine you get friendship bracelets for your friend and your polar bear like immediately dies.
My polar bear's drinking Coke.
Big fans. They're big fans of that. They've been selling them.
Imagine you get those and your polar bear is just at the San Diego Zoo. There's not enough of them.
There's not. Yeah, you're right. Well, no, like eventually, yeah, like you get one and then the zoo gets it.
Do you have a star named after you? Has anybody ever named a star after you?
No, that's such a scam though. You know how that, you know that's not real though, right? I just had that conversation with Bree the other day. She didn't realize that.
What?
That it's not real.
What do you mean it's not real?
They're not naming the star. It's just some dude who opened up a website and was like, congratulations, your star is named after you. And then he gets you all you're buying is the what is the word for that? The certificate?
But it's like, well, I mean, yeah, it's the same thing as your real degree.
Yeah, but
all someone did was buy evangel.edu. And then you bought a piece. You paid him a lot of money for a piece of paper.
Because with that, there's at least some like paper trail with the government to make it official.
Sure,
paper trail with the government. Like there is nothing anywhere.
I mean, anything I buy from Walmart, there's no
paper other than trail. Your certificate that says that star is named after you.
Yeah.
Probably 40 people had that star named after them because it's a scam. It's not a real thing. Works. It's not
there's,
an actual star.
Stars for all of us.
There is, but it's not real is what I'm telling you. It's not actually naming the star after you. There's nobody out there there's Neil deGrasse Tyson doesn't get in his magnifying glass, his telescope, and look up and say, ah, look, Rebecca James bought this star for her in 1984. That doesn't happen because yes, that's not does. How it works.
No, it's not. Yes, it does.
Oh my gosh. It's not real.
And also, its name used to be Rebecca. I changed it.
Because I
because you can do that.
For someone else.
When I bought it, it was named Coldfront.
Hey, thanks for checking out our show. If you like it and you want to support, be a part of what we're doing here, you can do that by becoming a patron. What happens there is you get to be in the community. We have a Discord with our hosts and producers. We have a lot of fun. We're super active in there every day. You get access to ad-free content a week before everybody else. And we have a Zoom every month with our patrons. We hang out, we eat pizza, we get to know you a little bit better. It's a blast. And there's a ton of other different benefits like merch discounts, birthday messages, things like that that are super cool. If you want to be in that, you can just text Tillin to 66866 and that'll get you right in there. If not, we're just super glad that you're here and thanks for watching our show. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. But
Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tillin. TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
So he's learning all about this, the cylinder seals. The government gets the cylinder seals.
Yeah, you can buy like kits and stuff online, I heard.
But they're not real. It's just their certificate.
They're not real. It's just a certificate.
The I don't even know. This says you're mine now.
I own that kid. What?
Excuse me? It's just like a Getty image. I own that kid.com.
Says that I own that kid. You cannot search that. You cannot look that up because we'll be on so many lists, dude.
I'm checking.
GoDaddy will not sell you that.
They might. It's available. It's a great deal. It's such a good deal. I'm buying it.
You know that's fake, right? It's real. You know, I mean, like, you know, like, there's nothing with the internet that says like you own that domain, dude. Like the there's no government paper trail. It's just GoDaddy selling you a domain. Could you make I own that kid.com and then send it to an AI generator that just makes an image of a kid?
Maybe.
And then that way it's kind of like this person doesn't exist.
That's so funny.
But yeah. It's just pictures of kids. This is super weird, bro. This is probably one of the weirdest things we've ever done. I don't feel comfortable doing it.
But I want the domain.
I mean, we've got stinking how many 747s.com. Mm-hmm. We got
how many Labs and Jans living room.
We got Grandpa Huntsby.com or whatever it is. And then we got I own that kid.
Yeah, we have findmygrandmashouse.com and I own that kid.
Dot biz.
Oh my gosh. Yikes. Okay, cylinder seals. The government buys the cylinder seals because they are very...
The U.S. government buys them.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Anunnaki?
Okay, it sounds like a dessert.
It does, actually. We got to go a step deeper real quick. I got to tell you a little bit about the Anunnaki before I can tell you everything about the cylinder
seals.
The Anunnaki... The ancient Sumerians, the first big culture that like arrived on Earth, they invented language, invented construction, all right. Stuff, right? obviously, they couldn't have done that on their own. There had to be aliens involved. Well, there's a storyline within their mythology about what they call the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki were gods that came to Earth and gave them technology, basically, to be able to build a bunch of stuff. They don't use that terminology, but that's really what they're saying.
Sure.
And the Anunnaki are giants who are from a different world who saw humans and thought they looked great. And so they reproduced with them and created half-breed giant human beings.
Thought they looked great?
Yeah.
You look good.
You look good. And so obviously there's a little bit of parallels between this and the Nephilim
mythology,
from the Bible. The situation got pretty serious, led to a global cataclysm, which was the flood. The storyline is that the Anunnaki will come back or are currently back and are involved in our world in some way.
Yeah, they're dominating the NBA.
LeBron James goes back to the locker room.
Have you ever seen an NBA player in person, dude? They are gigantic.
They are tall. They are very tall. But this is a different kind of tall. Like, this is...
And you're like...
Yeah.
I'm a big person.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And then I walk up to him and I go, is this how everyone else feels?
Yeah, kind of. But not to you. Like, you're not that.
I'm pretty big.
I mean, you're taller than me.
I'm like, I'm a big guy.
Say it again.
I'm a bigguy.com.
Well, frick.
I wouldn't go to that.
I wouldn't go to that. Can you see my screen in the camera?
No.
Okay, good. Hey.
Well, okay, a little bit.
Also available.
I'm a big guy.com. I'm a big guy now.
If we buy I'm a big guy.com and I own that kid.com in the same checkout, then you're on a list.
Yeah, definitely.
Boss. Boss, we got a weird one.
We got one.
So you're telling me I have to decide?
So the Anunnaki made this.
I have PaulRuddTheActor.com. I forgot that I have PaulRuddTheActor.com. Frick.
It's all going to get linked back to him. So the Anunnaki came to Earth and they gave these cylinder seals to the Sumerians to operate with the way that I just described to you, to use it as a seal to imprint clay with their messages and stuff.
Sure.
Well, what the United States government figured out, really the CIA figured out, is that that's not the purpose of these cylinder seals. That's a cover. That's a front. That's a disguise. These cylinder seals are components to operate machinery, Anunnaki machinery.
The Rolly stamps.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are components in disguise for Anunnaki machinery. And what they do is there is a machine that the government is calling the Looking Glass, that these are the key to be able to operate them. And Dan Burrish joins Alice's floor years into this program to join the investigation, basically, to see if they can figure out how to use the cylinder seals to work the Looking Glass machine, which is what was originally thought to be like a recovered spacecraft, but was something a little different.
Okay.
And so...
The Looking Glass?
The Looking Glass. Sure. And so this, it appeared like a UFO, like a normal flying saucer. They found this in the Nevada desert. They thought this was a flying saucer. What are you doing right now?
I was just looking at my...
at your domain registry?
Yeah, I'm trying to find Paul Rudd, the actor, so that I can set that up on... Oh, I think I'm logged into... I don't know. Where did I buy that at? Do we buy that in the Tillin account?
Maybe. I'm not logged in right now. I'd have to...
Because I want it in my Instagram bio. I want my Instagram bio to say stand-up comedian, blah, blah, blah. And then my website link to just be paulrudtheactor.com.
And then it links to Jared.
Links
to your link tree. Yeah. That's a good idea. I'll look after this.
Also, I was just looking up apartments.
Just trying to find something else to do right now.
Yeah, I was just thinking, might as well do my taxes while you're like rambling about
something else. So
TurboTax.com.
I heard they do it for free.
Yeah.
They got to do it for free because no one's getting their returns this year. So
George H.W. His fault somehow.
It all started with you.
His fault somehow. I like that.
So this craft that they recovered it in the Nevada desert. They thought it was a normal UFO.
Sure.
They thought it was a spacecraft. But as they started researching,
actually, we can kind of identify this thing.
They were like, this isn't a spacecraft. This is what they call the Looking Glass. And what they realized is it's similar to... I should have got a picture of this earlier. I'm going to pull it up. It's...
similar to like a periscope? Like a thing you look through?
kinda actually somewhat similar. There was this project that was done recently. Let me see if I don't know if I can actually get an image of this. I saw a video of it. It was this interesting thing that I don't know who did this. Like if it was an organization or like an artist or something. I don't know.
David Copperfield. You're talking about the time he made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Yeah, you know he's making the moon disappear. Did we talk about this?
We did talk about this. What day?
It's coming up. I'm pretty sure it's in February. So by the time this comes out, he did it. He did it. We're all living.
Wait, look it up. When does he do it?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to Google something else right now. When does David Copperfield make the moon disappear? Is one of the suggested searches. February 2024 is the plan. He says it's going well. But yeah, there's not an exact date.
I just think it's so freaking funny that now the internet exists and he's going to be on TV being like, whoa,
the moon's gone.
And then there's half of us on TikTok being like, we got it.
We found it. Yeah. I don't know about that, man. Anyways, there's an organization that what they did was they put up this big screen in a city, and it was like had this big round, like pretty, okay. It was like a mirror, like you know when you see like a good mirror, and it's got like
a good mirror, yeah,
the frame had a good frame, but it's big. It was like the size of like a person, like really big, you know?
Sure,
maybe two persons,
sure, people, you know, if you will.
You know how sometimes when people talk about tents, and it's like a one person tent, two person tent, three person tent.
Yes,
I used to think it was like a 1% tent. 2%, 3%.
Like and milk?
I always was like, why are they doing, what is the percentage? Like, what's it a percent of? And I was like, do we have a 100% tent? How big is that? Because a 4% tent is pretty big. Anyways, they built this big screen in a city.
Okay.
And then they built it in another city, like on the other side of the world. And you could come up as a looking glass. You could look through and see that other city. Yeah. And so people would come up and they'd see the people in the other
city.
It's
like when Howie Mandel was like as a 3D person in Vegas. You're saying that's alien technology?
Yeah, same concept. But instead of just seeing another city in real time, like what's happening live, you with a looking glass, get ready for this.
You can see the future.
You can see not just the future, but you can see the past, you can see the present, and you can see all possible timelines. So you could tap in and see whatever possible timeline humanity could take
sure.
at any point in that timeline. And that was a looking glass. But they couldn't operate it. Reliably. They could operate it, but not reliably. And so the Sumerian seals were the tools that they needed to operate. I don't know if they're the joysticks or whatever. I don't know exactly how they worked, but they were a component that was needed to operate the looking glass machine. And so they got those, they started working on it, and then Majestic 12 came into the picture. You familiar with Majestic 12? Yeah, are you familiar?
No.
Okay. This is one that I do want to do an episode on, so I'll give you a very high level picture of Majestic 12 real quick. Majestic 12 was an organization.
And then Majestic 12 came in the picture. You're familiar? No. Stupid.
Majestic 12 was an organization within the government, probably still exists. They call themselves Majestic 12 or maybe Magi 12, one of the two.
Oh, I've heard of Magi 12.
Yeah, sorry. The other name, sometimes people get tripped up. And it was just, it was an organization of like elite people within the military and government that oversaw the whole UFO alien operation, but they are also the ones who are keeping it secret. Like, so they're not an actual government organization. It's like a club within the government that's keeping all the other kids out. They're like,
okay,
you can't sit with us and we're not telling you about the cool stuff we found in ancient Sumer. And so Majestic 12 gets their hands on it and they start studying it and they realize that they're the operators. You can operate this and you can see into the timeline, but the operators of it have to have special abilities. And by special abilities, I mean psychic abilities.
Right, obviously.
And so they start...
looking for people with it.
Yeah. So they link up with their friends at the Montauk Project and they start working with remote viewing and using the Looking Glass item to remote view into other timelines and to other eras to see all these things. And they're recording all this data of what's going on. But they're having some strange interferences where people, if you had two groups of people, you had one that was, say, an atheist and one that was a Christian, and you had them view Israel in 33 AD, one saw Jesus on the cross and the other just saw the city of Israel. And so it looked like there was like people's biases were like influencing what they saw. And so they wrote a computer program that allowed them to focus the visions, the things that they were seeing through the looking glass to get more reliable pictures and more accurate pictures. And through this development, they started to gather all this data and realize kind of a startling trend arise. They were tracking all these different timelines. But what was strange, in our mid-90s, they started to notice that all the timelines began kind of converging into a single point. And then they ended. And there wasn't any more timeline after this. And that point was
2012.
December 21st, 2012.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yes.
And so this was also the Mayan calendar.
Hootie cackle.
And did, what did you just
that's
say?
That's what we call it. We call it hootie cackle.
That's right. Your teacher named it that. Yeah, that was a hootiecackle.com.
Sounds like a honky tonk bar. Come on down to Hootie Cackle.
How do you spell
pants required, cackle? Shirts or not?
Speaking of pants, so they wrote this program and they realized all the data is converging on December 21st,
right,
2012. And so what they began to theorize is that the world's gonna end on December 21st, 2012. Coincidentally, in the 90s, there was a crash in Arizona, UFO crash. In that crash, there's four life forms, all dead. Allegedly. But we know
from Bob Lazar's account,
we know that there was one survivor, and they go by the name J-Rod. And J-Rod...
okay.
And J-Rod is what's known as a P-52. And that stands for 52,000 years in the future. And P-52 has started giving the United States government, military, CIA, all these entities, some insider baseball on what's going on because he doesn't really have a choice, you know, torture. Oh my God. And so J-Rod...
Who's being tortured?
J-Rod, the alien.
He's being tortured by the CIA. They're waterboarding him?
Yeah. Tell us what you know. And he says, I don't speak a lick of English.
I don't speak a word of English. I don't know how to say your words. So that's what my wife's great grandma sounds like. Well, I...
So the P-52 explains that, hey, you guys are on the right track, but you got a long way to go. Let me just kind of tie this all up for you, like tie this together for you.
Okay.
So what's actually happening?
I'm from the year 54,000.
Aliens, as we know them, are not aliens. They're humans, 52,000 years in the future. And they have been coming back to our time frame in the timeline because 2012, there is a calamity that happens. There's a pole shift. And the poles shift and creates all these earthquakes and tsunamis and almost completely obliterates the world.
Yeah.
Tons of species die. Tons of people die, but there's...
And these Gen Zers don't even remember that we lived through that.
We survived the calamity and they don't even recognize it.
The calamity.
Yeah. And so there's this big calamity, but there's a remnant of humanity that survives. Unfortunately, the pole shift made Earth inhabitable. But
uninhabitable.
You're right. Uninhabitable. Thank you. Made the Earth uninhabitable. But they obviously, a bunch of them survived, so they got to find a way to live. So they go underground. And they rebuild society underground in Earth. Okay.
Okay.
And while progressing through their culture, they learned a lot of technological advancements that eventually allowed them to learn how to alter their DNA. And part of altering their DNA was making it to where their bodies could survive underground better. So they altered their skin tones, they changed their eyes, they reshaped a lot of their bodies. And a side effect of that made them kind of robotic type people. And it also made them look
like aliens.
Like this. Because yeah. Obviously, big, big, beady sure. eyes can see better in the dark.
Sure.
Everybody knows caves smell real bad, so they have the smaller noses or no noses at all. And they wanted to know more stuff, so they made their brains bigger. And then they're underground so that they don't get any sun, so their skin changes.
Odd Job Hats is going to have a real good time in the future.
In the future, yeah. This is the society that humanity lives in for many, many years.
Sure.
Well, they too learn time and learn how to manipulate time, and they see this timeline thing, and they start to notice that there are some other branching timelines that could affect their existence, because if that calamity doesn't happen, this society doesn't exist. And obviously the people who live in that society
want it to exist.
So they're trying to make sure that 2012 happens. Well, they realize there's some other branching realities that are hoping that 2012 doesn't happen. And they realize there's another group known as the P45s who didn't experience the calamity that are also going back in time trying to prevent the calamity from happening. And so these two organizations basically are at war with each other to try to make...
P45,
yeah, and P52. Are at war with each other trying to make the end of the world happen in 2012. So that way, the third world can begin.
Hey, May 18th, we're doing another Tillin' Live at Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri. I would really love to see you there. Tickets are available right now at the description of wherever you're listening or watching. There's a ticket link. Your ticket gets you entry to the live show, but it also gets you access to the park for the entire day. So you can come in that morning, enjoy the theme park all day, and then that night, we're shutting down the park with our show. So we can't wait to hang out with you. Please get those fast. We'll see you May 18th in Branson, Missouri.
So the P-52.
So the P-45s are trying to make sure that 2012 does not happen.
Yes.
P-52s are like, let's go, Coney.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, Coney 2012, we got to end the world. the P-52s are either, and we don't, it's not clear what the situation is here, they are either controlling or they are the Illuminati, and they are trying to guide the world
sure.
to the end of the world because it's what they need. They're also, coincidentally, alternating their DNA kind of messed them up a little bit, and so they're also harvesting some old human DNA in the process. So they're abducting people and taking some
We are backed up, as they would say. it's like it's inconvenient. It's not like they're like, you know, we live to be 400 and I haven't pooped in 17 years.
We are so constipated. Give me your DNA.
Also, we only have four fingers on each hand.
That was a bad idea.
You don't realize how much that messes you up until it's gone. Fifth.
But
as our favorite musician Toby Mac said, you never know what you got till it's gone.
In this ridiculous reality where the world is.
Yeah, they listen to Toby Mac.
Diversity
is going
all good. Of culture I'm going
freak show. Freak show in your neighborhood. They really resonated with that.
They're like, I'm a freak show.
Like, yeah.
Jeez. So they've come back and they're occasionally abducting, getting DNA, but also more than anything,
I want to know what you would think of.
Okay. Trying to drive humanity to its demise. But not really, you know, in a weird way, like kind of trying
it's to. It's hard to throw up my rock fist with only four fingers. Throw up your rock fist if you feel it when I drop this. They can't play guitar. They've only got four fingers.
Yeah. Some chords aren't available to them. They're here just kind of trying to guide the world to the apocalypse, sure. Right? And Dan learns all this when he gets his job. And they're like, we need your help with one, studying this phenomena, but two, helping us save the world. Dan's like, I'm just the microscope guy.
Okay, I will get started on that as soon as possible.
Yeah,
so Dan, do we want to win?
Yeah, which one are we? Which one is our guy? So Dan works for S4 for a few years and then leaves because he is concerned about the fact that the public doesn't know this. And he thinks that that we all deserve to know the truth. And so he goes and he becomes a whistleblower and starts telling the story to the public. And he like arranges in the early 2000s, like these Senate subcommittee meetings that he's supposed to have that never happen. But he's talking about him because he's like, we need to get into a secure location so I can tell everything I've seen. While he's also telling everything he's seen outside of the secure location.
Yeah, secure location. Oprah Winfrey's show.
I need to find somewhere to save.
Well, Dr. Phil, I'm just letting you know. Well, Dr. Phil, I just wanted to come on your program, and I wanted to alert your audience that there is, in fact, some time travel issues that have arisen, and I would like to just get the word out to the American people and also find love.
That was a turn I did not expect to see in this conversation.
Well, I'll tell you.
a little bit more Southern.
Well, no, there's definitely more in here.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, not a lot of people come on our show. I've been doing this for 40 years. And, you know, I can usually have a pretty good read of when people are fooling me, pulling my leg. And well, I assure you that I'm just having a conversation with myself over here. I'm playing both characters, bro. Anyway.
So he's telling the truth.
Sure.
Yeah, so Dan goes on this campaign telling the story. And that's Project Looking Glass.
Okay.
And I want to take a second to talk a little bit about Dan. Dan is a microbiologist. He has a PhD from a university that says he's never been there before. But he says that he earned the PhD while he was working at S4, and they don't want anyone to know that he was working there, so it was secretive. And he
obviously
was like, but the university he said he attended was in New York. And so he said, well, they were flying me out on the weekends.
Yeah.
And I was taking classes on the weekends.
Janet Airlines.
On Janet Airlines. And the university's like, we don't do that. That's not something that has ever happened and will ever happen. And it's not true. He's a liar. And so the doctor thing seems pretty questionable. Everything else in this story, most likely true. this guy also, we know a little bit more about him. Not a lot more, but a little more. We know in 2003, he declared bankruptcy. And in that declaration, he declared his occupation as homemaker, which some people think that might have been him trying to cover up what he actually did. But he also...
Well, I guess you could say what I do is I make Earth more of a home. Why'd you say it like that?
That was a crazy
that
way
was
to
such
say
a weird thing
that.
To say.
He's like, sir, you're declaring bankruptcy right now. Can you be a little bit more clear?
Well, I... No.
So can we get into a skiff? Is there a secure place?
What if I just changed my voice to be like this all the time?
So he declares bankruptcy as a homemaker and declares assets of $300 cash.
Can't believe that's not bringing in the dough.
Yeah. Declares assets of $300 cash. And
nowadays it would. Nowadays, all you got to do is put it on TikTok. You make money as a homemaker. You know what I'm tired of on TikTok?
Okay.
I'm tired of all these like millennials being like, we live in an RV for $400 a month. Quit posting that crap, okay? Because here's what's going to happen. Your employers are going to go, I mean, an RV is only $400. We're paying them too much. We can lower that down a little
bit. They can live in the RV. Yeah.
They're going to force all of us to stay in RVs because you want to play the Thornberries, okay? Don't do that to us.
Stop it.
I don't want to live that life.
Post more real stuff. My apartment, my one
also,
bedroom.
Also, you don't get out of being trailer trash just because it's a it's a different kind of trailer. Like, trendy. You're still... You're like, oh, it's an RV. No, we made fun of you.
Yeah.
We still do.
We still do. Yeah. But you just don't know it because you're in the RV on the other side of the city.
By yourself. Maybe take some notes on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got like a half paid off car that he's declares. What's interesting is he talks about getting paid really, really well at S4.
Sure.
He declares bankruptcy and has basically no assets. So there's some questions there.
Well, they didn't want me to buy stuff.
Because it makes it look like I'm doing stuff.
Yeah, I left it all in New York.
I think
with my girlfriend.
My girlfriend's in New York. She has the doll. She is the doll.
My girlfriend's in New York. I keep this doll to remind me of her. It looks just like her.
In fact, it's kind of crazy. When I pull on her arm, her arm gets pulled in New York.
It's a voodoo doll.
Yeah, the P52 gave me. I said too much. I think also these pictures look very staged. This one especially, he is wearing like kitchen gloves.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not a scientist.
And it's like an outlet.
Yeah. And he's also, he's like in a lab, but he's wearing this purple shirt, no lab coat.
And
like
the counter is covered in tinfoil.
Like this does not
the cabinet is covered in tinfoil.
This does not seem like a real lab. Like,
great. Go back to the other picture. That's clearly the same microscope. He's just got a couple microscopes.
He's got a couple microscopes that he moves around his house to be like, I'm a microbiologist.
Yeah, because look at those boxes back there in the corner. That's his house.
Yeah, this is his house. He's not, this is not.
What's on his computer? Microsoft Paint?
Yeah, I can't tell.
Bro, straight up though, can you zoom in?
I don't know if I can zoom in from this like presenter, just but we can try to get another one in.
Crop it, because it looks like Microsoft Paint. I wish we could zoom.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, I think that is. It's either Paint or like early Word with just a picture on it.
I think he's just.
Yeah, it's not convincing. It's not convincing. Okay. And the majority of the story it comes from Dan Burrish. It actually comes from Dan Burrish, but it comes from a
comic book.
No, well, I wish. It comes from a like memoir almost from, I don't know if memoir is right. This guy named C. Ronald Garner wrote a book, Alien Disclosure at Area 51. And he told a bunch of these alien stories. And this is his book.
For the audio listener...
There's no good way to describe this.
It is a human being in a space suit.
It looks more like a scuba suit from like 41, like a 1941 scuba suit.
On their back. And there is a alien straddling them, like making very, very strong eye contact.
His eyes are like glowing. And he's like holding them down. Like it's not just like a straddle. It's like a...
Who is C. Ronald Garner? Do we know?
So C. Ronald Garner is an important guy. He's an author and like a UFO enthusiast.
Sure.
He owns a museum. This is his museum, which is very convincing.
Are these both wax figures?
The one on the left is him. The other one is a wax figure. And then the aliens are obviously wax. Those aren't real aliens. But yeah, he's got this museum that... I mean, it's just like a bunch of, if you're an audio listener, it's like paper mache UFOs that he's made.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like wax aliens, or honestly, they're like, might be stuffed animals. And like a mannequin military policeman. And he's got this museum.
It's just
this
sad.
This is in Roswell. He's got the little museum in Roswell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's capitalized on it.
You want to go?
Absolutely. What's interesting is Bob Lazar, another employee of S4, says that this guy's full of it, and anybody who believes his story should be ashamed of themselves. pretty strong words from Bob. But Bob was never one of Mitt's words. It very much seems, and here's the thing with this story, is it touches just about every alien trope that exists.
Yeah.
It was all over the place. And it hits everything, but it just like goes like ankle deep.
I love that it's like, oh, there's two different groups of futuristic aliens, and they're trying to destroy us and also trying to save us.
Yeah. And they're also us, and the world's going to end aliens. In 2012, but they don't want to,
but it might not
if the other ones win. But it's also the Anunnaki, and it's also Majestic 12, and it's also the Montauk Project.
You know?
And it's also Remote View. Like, it is just, it's literally everything just duct taped together in this big mess. People buy it. So, we're going to buy the book. And we're going to
write a new one.
Ooh.
Fiddle off the alien.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you liked it, we got another one you should check out. Bob Lazar. That one's one that I actually believe, and I think he's actually telling the truth. So that's worth checking out. It's in the description. And if you want to watch next week's episode, it is available right now to our patrons. So you can follow the link in our description to become a patron, or you can text Tillin to 66866 and join right now to get access to next week's episode, as well as a lot of other perks. It's totally worth it to be a patron. And shout out to all of our patrons for supporting our show and making this possible. But we'll see you next week for another episode of Things I Learned Last Night.